Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Welcome. Welcome to this wonderful, glorious day that the Lord hath made. You may notice that both of us are up here today. We're excited about that. We've done this a lot in Guatemala. We were tag teaming, and we found the anointing was so, so strong. And as the Lord said, one puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. We believe there's going to be a strong anointing today as we go forth with the message that the Lord has brought to us today to give to you. But first, we'll start with a praise report. Remember a while back when we talked about the tithers' prayer and claiming our tithers' rights, and I said that our laptop had been stolen? Well, we got a call, and somehow, somewhere, in all the TSA bureaucracy, they found our laptop. This is it right here. This is our first testimony right here about this. Never expect to see it again, but we did pray and stand in faith. I guess we did expect to see it again, but surprised, pleasantly surprised. Went down there, and we asked the man, how did it get here? He says, I don't know. It just showed up one day. Exactly, angels. So praise the Lord. Great. So this message is seek first the kingdom of God at 6:33. And we're going to start with the verse Matthew 6:33. Because it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And as we worked on this message, we had to realize that we have to continually seek God first. And although Karen and I get up early at 3:30 to pray, we started talking to other people praying at 6:33, and they're excited about it.
And when we worked 9-to-5 jobs, it was something we wanted to do because we usually got up at 7:30, sometimes 8 o'clock. And we started getting up at 6:30 to start. We wouldn't always stay awake, but it was really tough for us getting up at 6:30. And then we graduated to 5:30, 4:30. 3:30, but we wanted to start prayer at 3:30, so we now get up at 3:15. So we get up, wash our face, etc. So we're ready to pray at 3:30. So it's a ramp up process, and so we actually did a research that most of the country does work 9-to-5, and most of them don't get up till 7:30 or 8. So we thought it would be great for people starting out to be able to join us as well, and people who are seasoned prayer warriors, and you already get up early. To pray about getting up even earlier, because we're finding that the attacks of the enemy have been greater and greater. Nobody expected this pandemic. That was a shock and a surprise to the world. And what we were doing before, I don't believe, is enough for what we need to do to be absolutely ready for the end of the end time. So it's an invitation to join us and pray about it. However much earlier God tells you to get up, it could be 5 minutes to start. It could be 1 minute to start. But whatever, if that's what the Lord puts on your heart to start and ramp up in those of you that don't get up by 6:30, you can eventually get there with us, knowing that somebody is praying for you at 6:33 a.m. as a group, as ABCers. Supporting each other in prayer is very comforting, isn't it? Okay. And then if you can't do the 6:30 yet, but maybe on a 10-minute lunch break or in your car ride to somewhere, can you pray for ABCers and our church and our leaders as well and our families if you can't do the 6:33 yet? And those of you that get up way earlier to pray, I know a lot of ABC leaders and pastors get up 4:30. I think Apostle Joshua still beat us. I think he's 2 a.m. or 2:30. We're catching up, Apostle Joshua, but we're ramping up too to his level. But if you do get up earlier, can you stop at 6:33 and pray for our church? Can you pray, for assembling the body of Christ together at 6:33 spiritually, wherever you are, in whatever time zone, so we could be a support to our church, our leaders, the goals that God has for ABC Church and Ministries. This is an invitation we're asking everyone to help us with.
Now, it's kind of exciting because we've already got one person on the East Coast that's agreed to start at 6:33, so we're already covered two time zones right now. And the concept would be first to cover the United States, then prayerfully, eventually, all 24 time zones. And I'm going to bring this to an analogy because I like sports analogies, but, you know, Vince Lombardi was a great football coach back in the day, won the first two Super Bowls. I never knows what a Super Bowl is. With all due respect to Vince Lombardi, his teams wouldn't stand a chance today. The training is better. The practices are better. The concepts are better. And that's what we got to. We must always evolve ourselves to meet up against the competitions coming against us. You know, militarily. You wouldn't want to go to war today in World War I aircraft. Okay? So we must continue to advance. And this is one of the advances the Lord's put upon our heart. And we're going to have topics to pray for a month. But get people praying in corporate prayer. Because the more we pray together as a unity, we defeat the devil as a team. Now, you probably felt this. I know we felt this here at the headquarters. The devil has really ramped up his attacks against ABC. He's really ramped up his attacks against people involved with ABC. But this is a live and remain ministry. This is live and remain. And that means we must overcome the attacks of the enemy. And as we pray together as a unity, we put our shields up together, and our prayers form a formidable defense against the devil. Okay?
Here. Could you explain that a little bit more, the shields together? I love that.
All right, well, again, being the history person I am, one of the things that made the Romans so good was they had bigger shields. And then they would take those shields and they would lock them together. So when you had a whole row of soldiers, it was tough to break through that line. Now, if you had a soldier with one small shield, and the other soldiers beside him had a small shield, once you broke through that line, it's very easy to penetrate and wrap around and kill the others. So we're going to put up a defense around us. Or if you like Star Wars, Star Trek, put up a force field around us that the devil is challenged to penetrate through, because we work together as a team. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't you love that analogy? Amen. Okay, so we're on number two, be a hearer and doer of a secret charitable deed. Now, we're going through the chapter of Matthew 6, so this is verses 1 through 4. And it says, if you want to turn there with me, Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. When we seek first the kingdom of God, it isn't so that we could be first seeking to have, you know, a boasting about what we're doing to help other people. We want to do it because it's the right thing to do, because it's love. When we help someone with charity, it's the love of God that is shown to them. And we do it because it is blessing them, and not to get accolades or to get any kind of credit for it. And so the Heavenly Father will know what we're doing, because we're taking care of who the Lord puts on our heart to have a charitable deed. And you know what I love the best? I give my charitable deeds to where ABC wants to give to missions. They know these people well. We know them well. Apostle Joshua and Pastor Sarah, these are people who are really doing the gospel work. They're not stealing the money from people. That we know for sure that they bear good fruit. And so it's a good thing to prayerfully consider. helping those missionaries reach so many other people for God is something to prayerfully consider. Amen.
Amen.
And James 1, 22 to 25, if you want to turn there, James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. So we have to be, what does ABC say? Hearers and doers, right? The HD. And these people are deceiving themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he or she is like a man or woman observing his or her natural face in a mirror. For he or she observes himself or herself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man or woman he or she was. But he or she who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he or she does. So we want to continue being hearers and doers. And that's why we want you to use Matthew chapter 6 as what we're going to be doing after we hear it and be reminded of it today. Amen?
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Now, number 3, pray in a secret, private place. This is Matthew 6, 5 through 6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you go pray, go to your room where you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and who your Father sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, you've probably seen the movie War Room. It's a fantastic show about a lady going to a private closet and praying, blessing her husband and family. But the truth is, there's something about that time. And leave your cell phones off, your computers off. Just spend time with the Lord. You know, now we talk about getting up at 3:30, and we do, but it's not to brag. It's to encourage you that it can be done. And we don't talk about everything we pray about and so forth like that, but we do tell you that we've had great blessings and miracles in our lives because we've done what we talk about doing. We practice what we preach here. So I'm going to encourage you that when you get up at 6:33, start your prayer at 6:33 in a private, quiet place where you can really hear the Lord speak to you in Jesus' name.
And how many of you, when you wake up, say, good morning, Heavenly Father. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what would you like me to do today? One thing that we really learned from Apostle Joshua has changed our lives.
Yep.
And when we're doing interval prayers as well with our unaware sins prayers, we constantly ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do now? And it's amazing how our day changes, but it's become more productive. That's because we're following God's leading, doing it His way, not my own way.
Okay. And number 4, pray without vain repetitions using affirmations. We all know about affirmations here at ABC. Okay. And number 7, when you do pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Now, what is a vain repetition? Vain, in this usage, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means marked with futility or ineffectiveness, unsuccessful, useless, having no real value, worthless, foolish, or silly. The word of God is none of these. Now, Titus 3:8 says, this is a faithful saying, these things I want you to affirm constantly. It doesn't say once in a while. To affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works, that these things are good and profitable to men. In Webster's definition, to affirm, transitive verb, validate, confirm, state positively. To assert something, such as judgment decree, as valid or confirmed, to show or express a strong belief in, to testify or declare by affirmation or a positive assertion. You know, I always found the word vain to be a very interesting word to me. It means pride and useless. And the Word of God is neither one of those two. Okay? Karen?
Okay, so we're going to number 5. Pray the model prayer, which is also known as the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to be reading Matthew 6, verses 8 through 13. Verses 8 through 13 of Matthew 6. Therefore, do not be like them, For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And of course, we all know the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to just reiterate it. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you're interested in an in-depth study on the Lord's Prayer, I recommend that you can also listen to that at our Power and Healing School. And also Pastor James retaught that on Friday, June 23rd of 2023. Learn to pray the Lord's Prayer as an hour of power, and what he did was really great. He did us the favor to write out the prayer, so all we do is read the sheets instead of flipping through your Bible. And it cut that down by a great margin if you don't have a whole hour to spend on that. Okay?
Okay. Number six, pray to forgive from your heart and remove blockages. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, in 10 years in the healing rooms, we prayed for 25,000 people. We prayed for countless people here at ABC. Undoubtedly, 95%+ were dealing with bitterness and unforgiveness. It is the biggest challenge people face. So you must really search your heart here. If you have any unforgiveness toward anyone, you must repent of that sin and get rid of that. Ask God to help you. I'm not saying it's easy, but he will help you with that. Pray for the person that's offended you and hurt you so bad is what I had to do for my challenges. I'd actually pray for the people. But in doing so, you open up a window for God to bless you, because the Bible also says that if unforgiveness, people are unforgiveness, he'll bring the tormentors in. And we know too many situations people have done that. They held on their unforgiveness. And they're seriously, seriously challenged today. So, encourage you, take your time, search your hearts. Now, this really comes to mind, and I have permission to tell this story. I've told it before, but it's important to repeat it here for those of you who've heard it before. Lady came to our healing rooms, one of the sweetest, nicest, loveliest little ladies you've met. You thought there would have been a challenge bone in her body. And I said, I'm getting the word bitterness. She goes, oh, I don't have that. I don't have that. So I prayed for God to reveal the bitterness to her. On the way home, she had to pull the car over as she got rid of all the bitterness out of her system. Now, the key point about that story is on Friday night, we prayed for her. Monday, she was supposed to go in to have a double mastectomy, but they could find no cancerous tumors anymore, and they canceled the surgery. And she's never had that surgery to this day. And that was in 2003, so that's 20 years, that cancer's never showed its ugly head back up to her.
And she came and said, can I be part of your prayer team?
Yeah.
And God really used her to minister to so many women after that. It was great. And, you know, as we've ministered in many different places when we were evangelizing and itinerant ministers before we started pastoring, a lot of people would get saved. It was so exciting. And then we would invite the churches to come, and then we could help to add to their churches because we were evangelists of how many people got saved. We could recommend them to go to churches. And we realized that when we started ministering on how to forgive and why to forgive, and that unforgiveness really blocks prayers, hundreds and hundreds more people got saved.
Yeah,
we didn't have room. We didn't have places to put all these people. And, we had a small ministry, but I think we calculated was like 150,000 salvations.
Yes, in Guatemala. Mm-hmm.
And we thank God for those souls, but many of them, because they heard that they had to forgive, and when they did, it was so exciting. Then they came up and gave their hearts to Jesus and got saved, and now they're still in those churches serving God. Now they're ministering to others the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so I love when God has the gospel as the good news, that forgiveness helps us to receive our prayers and the blessings of God, especially salvation.
when we repent and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and receive that forgiveness, because He's already forgiven us, but we need to repent of those sins. That's an important thing. Every day that when we get up to pray, we do our unaware sins. We do our morning prayer when we get up, and as well as when we do that. And sometime during the prayer time with the Lord, the Holy Spirit might reveal to me a sin I'm not aware of, so I can now break curses on it and deal with that in my life. And I find that the more I'm in God's presence, the more He reveals to me of helping me to get my heart cleansed, and heart, soul, mind, tongue, and body, and get cleansed of the influences of demons, devils, and evil spirits. And just because I'm in God's presence. And thank God that we have to confess our sins before we go in the Holy of Holies, because sin cannot be before God. But it's interesting how He's helping us get even more close. Do you find that as well?
Definitely. No question about it. You know, it's a continual process. You know. It may never end until Jesus returns, and that's fine. As long as we keep working, stepping closer toward God. You know. All right, number 7. Prayer and fasting in secret brings godly rewards. Matthew 6:16-18. Moreover, when you fast, and by the way, we're still on our fast for ABC. We've gotten the last week of it. It's pressing strong toward the end here. Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. Your Father who sees the secret will reward you openly. Okay? We're on a fast. Maybe it's food, maybe it's TV, whatever it is you're fasting, whatever God told you to fast, that's fine. But the other part of fasting is praying to God and praying to get God so you can hear His voice. God needs nothing from you, but He blesses you by doing what He tells you to do. So as we do this process, get up at 6:33. Remember you're in a fast. Ask God to bless you during this fast. And hear what He has to say. He wants to talk to you always, continuously. He wants you to hear His voice. And this is one way we do it.
Also, when we get up first thing in the morning to pray and we say our unaware sins prayer, because I don't know of any sins I did while I was sleeping. It's possible. Anyway, do the morning prayer and then afterwards, you know, start your time with the Lord. I think it's important that we're in a fasted state first thing in the, you know, when we pray, so that we could hear the Lord more clearly. Okay?
Okay.
So, number 8, lay up treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:19-20. So, let's look at verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And I want my spiritual treasures, and I'm sure you do too, because they will be eternal. And that means seeking God with all of our heart, seeking first the kingdom of God. And I want to so separate myself from the world and the earth and everything of it more and more and more. And, you know, that song, it's like, and the things of earth grow dim, you know, I want to be so far above with God. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. Far, far, far above all that. I want to have God take me closer and closer and closer to the goals and draw me nearer and nearer and nearer as I abide in God's Word. I abide in Jesus. And then those Christians who abide in His words and the Word of God are the ones that are set free. So that's what my goal is, and I'm sure it is yours too, that we don't want the treasures of this earth, but the greatest treasure is the Word of God. Let's dig deeper and deeper and grow stronger and stronger in God. Amen?
Okay, number 9. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. Okay? Where's your treasure? If it's here on earth, you may have some challenges. Your treasure is supposed to be in heaven. Okay? That doesn't mean you do what you do here on earth. That doesn't mean you don't love people here on earth, but your true treasure is in heaven. Okay?
And obviously, it's what's in your heart. You know, that's why we have to forgive from our heart. And so we have to part the veil of our heart and align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, with our heart, soul, mind, tongue, and body. It's very important because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So let's check our mouths more often than we used to. Let's check the words of what we're saying and our attitudes and our thought life. And if it's in the thoughts that is negative or fearful or worrisome or whatever it is, let's try not to speak that out, but speak the Word of God over the situation instead, so that when we pour more of the Word of God in our heart, what's going to come out immediately is the Word of God. And then we can check it in our minds. We can stop negativity before we speak it. But when we do, don't forget, I call this the spiritual eraser. In the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null, and void all negative words that I didn't mean to say and don't line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. And then I try to pick a scripture that will be a blessing over the situation of that topic. For instance, if someone was afraid they couldn't pay their bills and they said, if that person said, that, oh, no, they're not going to be able to pay their bills this month, they could say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Well, in the name of Jesus, I cancel, make null, and void the words that I just spoke because I shouldn't have said that. And I'm going to say, hey, thank you, God, that you have supplied all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And we can do that during this 6:33 a.m. prayer time.
Okay. Number 10. Be full of the light of God. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, your light is in you is darkness. Therefore, the light that is in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? Okay. There are people who see evil everywhere. People see good everywhere. I always try to find the good in anybody, no matter what their challenges are. Pray for them. Want the best for them. There are lots of challenges and evil in the world. But our job is to find the light and spread the light around. In Jesus' name. Karen?
You know, preparing for this teaching, the Lord showed me something with that passage in verses 22 to 23 to be the full light of God that I was ministering to somebody this week. And they didn't know why there was a physical challenge that was very big, very, very challenging, that most people should have gone to the emergency room immediately for. And this person wanted to do it God's way, according to the Word, and call on 119 instead of 911. You know, confess your sins, according to 1 John 1:9. And rewind the video. There's always unforgiveness is the open door. Always. Can I say always? And one more time, always, what did you hear?
Always.
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 So, in your thought life, let it be like a video where you have to rewind and replay. Where did this challenge start? Ask the Holy Spirit. He always will show you. Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to please show me where was the entrance of the unforgiveness. And as I rewind the video in my mind, Holy Spirit, show me what it was so I can repent of that. Okay, and he always does it. I don't know how long it takes with some people, but it always happens. So when I was praying with this person, that person didn't know right then, but I reminded her to go ahead and rewind the video and just, you know, give me the praise report later, because she's a very diligent prayer warrior. I knew she was going to find the answer, and she hears the voice of God. Well, now, when she first started ABC, she didn't hear the voice of God hardly at all. And now she's pretty accurate. And I got a text in a few minutes. Actually, two people, this happened almost the same time, within 5 minutes of a phone call, calling for prayer for really challenging things.
And we told them the same thing, and they both very quickly gave us a text of a prayer report, praise report that the Holy Spirit showed them what was the unforgiveness. And as soon as they did it, that huge challenge, boom, gone, left. Now, one of them had to keep working at it because re-attacks started trying to come. Those are lying symptoms. And you just have to keep fighting the good fight of faith and don't receive that till you get the final manifestation of the total healing that you know you already received by faith. Okay? So the Lord showed me this, and he said with this scripture, be full of the light of God. We have the full light. We have everything we need inside of us. Once we're born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have it all. It just has to be developed or come out of us, or we have to have the self-control to stop the sin or stop the anger or stop being offended. And we have to learn the self-control and put the bridles on ourselves and keep praying. You know, Psalm 19:14, in the name of Jesus, God has made the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart perfectly pleasing to him, and everything that you can list that he's having you meditate on. But as we give permission to the Holy Spirit to help us with what we're speaking, if we have that unforgiveness, and sometimes the light grows dim, if there's sin blocking it, then you got to get rid of the sin. So when someone offends us, you know, as Pastor Sarah says, you got to learn to let it be. Like when water hits a duck's back, there's so much oil on the feathers, it slides off. It doesn't wet the top of the duck's back. And so it won't get weighted down with water when the duck goes into the water, swims around, and wants to get fish and goes down and comes back up. The water slides off of it, so it won't be, you know, drowning in the water. And so the other day I was getting ready for a trip, and I, you know, we have to Ziploc everything in a sandwich bag and whatever, and it was our first time to be successful carrying our bags on board and not checking in. So everything has to be a certain size and this and that. And I put the bag on my lap, and I was going to put it in the suit, in the carry-on case. And it slipped off my lap onto the floor because it's plastic. And I picked it back up, and I was, dark 30 in the morning. I was very challenged to not be so awake yet. I put the bag back on my lap, and it slipped off my lap again. And the Lord said, see, you should not get offended. Just let it slip off of you. I went, that was like a instantaneous another analogy to solidify how I should do that when someone's talking. So this gal was telling me that someone had offended her and said something. And I gave the analogy of a, you know, water off a duck's back and let it slip off of you. And the Lord said to me, every offense, everything that Satan's trying to do to make you get into unforgiveness, if you use the light of God on those dark words, on those dark actions coming against you, and the love of God comes out of you, and you try to turn the situation around from that lemon juice spitting out of that person's mouth or actions, and you turn it into lemonade, and then you minister the love of God or your attitude of not being ugly and being gracious, and usually hurt people will hurt other people. How can I minister love when they're trying to be hurtful and not receive that and not even let it saturate me but just slip off of me? Then the light of God is being shown to them because they're in darkness and they need help.
Amen.
So that might help some of you because it helped me a lot.
Okay. Number 11, only serve God, not riches. No one can serve two masters, but either hate one and love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, first I was in business. I wanted money. I wanted all the toys, all the fun they could have. And then I lost everything. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. I like business. I still like business. I like talking to people and doing business and making things succeed. But I do it now for the Lord. I don't love the money, the toys, the game. I like helping people, and I like being a blessing, and my goal is to be a blessing to the kingdom, and how much can I bless the kingdom? It has very, very little to do with me. Yes, I'm going to have my nice house, I'm going to have nice cars, and things where we're well taken care of for ourselves, but the goal is not to have the biggest mansion in Malibu. The goal is, how much can I use my skills to serve the Lord? In Jesus' name.
Amen. And let's go to number 12. Have faith and do not worry by seeking first the kingdom of God. So we're going to read chapter 6 of Matthew, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father does what? He feeds them, and he will feed you too. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Verse 28. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? But I say ABCers have great faith because of what you're taught. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need in all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So we are inviting everyone to seek first the kingdom of God at 6:33 a.m. with us, regardless what time you normally get up and pray, so that we are assembling the body of Christ together spiritually in your time zone at the same time, knowing that we're supporting each other in prayer, our church, our leaders, our congregation members, our families. And we are a ministry of live and not die. We are a ministry of the God that is more than enough. We are the ministry of knowing what's coming in the end times. We are so privileged to have that honor so that we could warn the rest of the body of Christ. And I want to reach out through prayer and do good deeds for other people as well, and invite other people to join us at 6:33 to pray together, assembling the body of Christ, supporting each other. And if you don't know what to pray, then those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues, we pray in tongues and let the Holy Spirit pray through us when we don't know what to pray. But we're going to be sending a newsletter by email every single month. Those of you that don't use emails, we might have to do snail mail.
Whatever.
So check out your mailbox coming up, and then we will tell you what we believe that the Lord wants us to pray on, so that we're all praying the same topic for each other as our base. And, of course, let the Lord use you to pray all the other things he puts in your heart so that we could intercede for one another, and that we are going to be stronger for it in the Lord and the power of his might. Because if one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, and if two or more can agree on anything on this earth, it shall be done by our Heavenly Father for us. And that's what we're going to do, is join together in prayer and connect together so that we are a formidable foe against the enemy. And we are submitting to God, as James 4:7 says, and we can resist the devil and he flees from us, and he'll flee even faster when we're joining together. Amen.
Amen. Where two or more agree, it shall be done. One puts 1,000, two put 10,000 to flight. We know the verses. We have to stand and act upon them. But the primary verse, seek first the kingdom of God. And we must do this. So I'm going to encourage you all to do this. Even though we're going to be up early, we're going to reset our alarms. We're going to be praying at 6:33 with everybody on the team that wants to join up with this. And again, I'd love to see this go as far as it can around the world. And it's just exciting to see what God is going to do with the corporate prayer. Now, EBC's always had strong prayer. We've always had fantastic, above-board, high-level, spiritual understanding and revelation from Apostle Joshua. We're going to take this now and put the weapons of war, which is the Spirit of God, the words of our mouth, to work on behalf of everybody in ABC. And I'm expecting great miracles and testimonies in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, we won't be seeing each other. We're not doing it by Zoom. We're not going to be doing it in conjunction with other people. It's just you in your private place, in your home, or if you're already at work, knowing that at 6:33, wherever you're at, that you're going to be praying and supporting ABCers and our leaders, and praying for all of us to be able to have an opportunity to have more kind opportunities to bless someone else with kindness, reach out with evangelism. We're going to believe God that people will continue being humble, and that we're not going to be boasting what we're doing or you know, praying, but in that secret place, okay? And then we are going to seek God, seek His kingdom, mm-hmm. and ask Him, what do you want us to do now, Holy Spirit? And then our church is going to be able to have more testimonies as we see you're having more breakthroughs and overcoming in more areas of your life. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
633, ABC. ABC 633, assembling the body of Christ through prayer using Matthew 633 at 6:33 a.m. Amen?
Do that again. ABC 633.
ABC 633.
Okay.
It means that we're assembling the body of Christ together using Matthew 6:33 at 6:33 a.m., supporting each other in prayer. Amen?
Now, do ABC 633, then stop.
ABC 633.
She used to be head cheerleader.
Tell, right?
Yeah. Go for it. Okay. You want to finish up communion?
Okay. So now we're going to go to communion.
Okay. If everybody could do a USP, please. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins.
I'm not aware of any sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Thank you for cleansing me.
Of all unrighteousness.
Of all unrighteousness.
According to 1 John 1:9.
According to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. In the name of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 24, I take this bread, which is the body of Christ. I agree and receive that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We take this body now, remembrance of you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I take the cup of blessing. I agree and receive this blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit who dwells in me quickens my mortal body and restores it to the life of God. Amen. We take this now, remembrance of you, in Jesus' name.